What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their mind.
Yeah.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.
Hey guys and gals. We're talking about what's ever on our minds. It's What's for Dinner. We're
Woo!
Back. Yay.
And we're back.
And we're back, everybody. For those of you who heard the last podcast, at like I think it was minute 48 of me just saying, my equipment sucks. I lost another episode. I'm taking a break till I get new equipment. Well, I got newer equipment sooner than I thought.
Whee!
Yay! I got a brand new / used off Craigslist.
brand new to you.
Brand new to me, exactly. A Zoom H4N recorder, for those of you who do sound recording.
Plug.
Well, I'm just saying it's a really, really good recorder. Just got to remember, if you're going to record, hit the button twice and make sure it's not breaking. so we got brand new equipment, and we figured, well, if we're going to kind of do a little restart, a little fresh start, let's bring in one of our freshest people. One of the guests that we love, because he's a friend, he's a great guest, he's a funny guy.
Thank you.
He lives around the corner.
And he's a record holder of
And
the
he is now,
most
yes, officially a record holder for the most appearances on the show. Derek Carter, Vorty Starter.
Yay! You know, it's funny, you bought this equipment on, you said eBay or Craigslist?
Craigslist.
Craigslist. I wonder if there's going to be like a fire sale like years from now, just like all these out-of-business podcasters are like, it didn't work for me.
I just bought a beeper from a garage sale.
Really?
So
yeah, that would be funny. Yeah, but I think there may be some people that, you know, I don't think podcasting will go away. I think maybe like the form that we do record them in may go away. So it's like, remember how CB radios were like the shit, like in the 70s,
yeah,
like everybody had one. And then they kind of went away, and we're like, yeah, I'll just get on my cell phone and talk. I don't need to.
Well, wait,
truckers. There was a
big gap between CBs and cell phones. Like, what was in
the beeper?
Was it the beeper? Was that?
Yeah,
but that wasn't direct.
I know what you're saying. You mean like on the highway, you would entertain yourselves like in the 70s by just brick 19, brick 19. Yeah. Come on back.
Yeah, this is Smokey. There's a bandit coming up. I'm gonna tell you.
Get your rubber ducky. Got your ears on. My dad had a CB. We had a CB mobile and a CB base. We had the giant antenna on top of the roof.
Oh,
it was so funny. It's like pop wrench mobile to pop wrench base. That's what he'd say when he'd get off work at 5 o'clock, and we'd, Dad's on the CB. And,
I remember a friend of mine's parents had a CB, and I thought it was the coolest fucking thing.
It is. You know what the best thing is? Is like when my parents would go, they'd leave the house, I'd get on a CB and pretend to be like a DJ and entertain, do like characters, and basically
really?
Like prank phone calls, but you know, I get on there and pretend to be a truck driver, and I'd pretend to be a radio psychologist. I am Dr. Van Diefendorf, and you may call me Dr. Dork. What is your problem?
Wait, were you actually broadcasting or just
yes,
you had it?
Yeah.
Did anybody respond?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And I'd fake them out. But looking back, I didn't really have a lot of knowledge, so they totally knew it was just a kid, I'm sure. But I would be like, break 19, you got your ears on. Come on back now. We're on the corner of Chestnut and the 99. And they'd be like, hey, trucker, what you hauling? I'd be like, I got 40 head of cattle. And they'd laugh and be like, 40, really? Like, you got 40? I'm like, I don't know, how many cows can fit back? You got me.
But how old were you?
I was at that. I would do that from the ages of like 13 to about 17, I would say.
So realistically, you really couldn't get your voice like this. So you'd be like,
breaker nine, this is hog tall, I'm hauling cattle.
Yeah. I'm on the 99 southbound like an eagle.
Nice.
Bro, come on now, rubber ducky.
Come on back.
Yeah, especially if you're saying rubber ducky, you're kind of giving yourself away. Like, have you been watching movies there, son? You're quoting Jerry Reed.
Eastbound down.
Here's one for you. Okay, you know when you guys go down the road and you see like a diesel and it's carrying like some new cars getting ready to go to a car lot?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many cars are on those things? Because I know exactly the amount.
If I'm trying to count, like 12?
Doesn't it depend on how...
But if it's full, if it's full.
12? That's my guess.
No, I think it would be like 8.
It's 10.
We were totally on the wrong.
So you'd be like, I think there's a common word for like a 10 carrier or something like that. But so it'd be ridiculous. Like, I got about 40, you know, I got 44 cars I'm taking to... So, you know, they'd know, like, you're full of crap.
44 cars.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. So when I said I've got 40 head of cattle, Like, you know, the head of cattle part sounded real, but don't say 40. Yeah.
Unless you literally just have 40 heads in your truck,
we're gonna run down to Tijuana and make some menudo.
Nice. Well played.
You know what? Did you ever see the movie Pump Up the Volume with Christian Slater?
No.
You ever saw that?
No, is that what he does? He does something like this, huh?
Basically what he did, it was a really cool movie, kind of ahead of its time. Christian Slater plays this little kid, like a high school kid, who lives in Arizona, and his parents had just moved from the East, so his dad bought him like this big kind of radio broadcasting setup so he could try to talk to his friends back East. And this is, again, before cell phones and when long-distance calls were expensive. And, like, it wasn't strong enough to go back East, so he just started broadcasting out of his basement, just literally talking without even knowing if anybody's hearing. And then it became, like, this underground thing. He became this, like, underground mystery DJ that all the local kids and, obsessed over. And, you know, this whole other plot to it. But I saw that movie, and he used to play all these really cool songs, like, you would have probably loved the song, Sonny, very, like, 90s alternative songs.
Oh, nice.
And I remember I saw this, I'm like, I want to be a DJ, too. But I had no setup, nothing. This is back when I was still living with my parents in Florida. So what I did is I had like a little, you know, those little shitty microphones that you'd have that came with like a tape recorder,
mm-hmm.
like just the really low end ones. Oh, was that wire?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. I would put that in my stereo, and then I had like those big tower speakers.
Oh yeah.
And I'd push one of them to my window, and I'd just go on the microphone, "Hey everybody." And I'd like basically try to broadcast in the neighborhood and just blast my music out the window.
Yeah.
And that lasted
for
me.
They appreciated it, I'm sure.
Oh, they loved it. Like, "Could you stop playing Eat It, please? We really don't like Weird Al in this gated community."
Yeah. It's not even Beat It, it's Eat It. So they're like, "We don't like Michael Jackson particularly, and we don't like parodies of said Michael Jackson."
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
for whatever reason, Southern Florida became like Arkansas or whatever. Yeah. You're like,
We don't take kindly to that kind of music around here.
It's so funny. So I'll give you a little update on my son, Austin. He loves Weird Al Yankovic, which we've talked about on every single podcast. But as you do, you know. And so it's funny now when he listens to songs, being a 5-year-old, now he's learning to differentiate. He's like, "Is that a parody? Is that an original? Is that instrumental?" And lately he's been looking up the word symphony.
Really?
Yeah, because Robin Thicke had a song called "Wanna Get You Alone." But in the beginning of that song, it's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
And you know that famous melody? It goes da na na na.
Mm-hmm.
Da na na na.
By the way, did you know that and I guess when you're a kid, you have.
Oh. I'm
a child. Hold on.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
Oh God, I got a comedy club wire now. God,
I know.
Sorry, man.
When you're a kid, you know you have less things in your brain, so you're focused on, you know, you only have so many things of memories, so everything really stands out. So, I've been watching, you know, Judge Judy just kind of in the background, like probably since it's been on the air, like over a decade. I never realized until my son pointed it out. At the beginning of every episode and every time they come back from commercial, they use Beethoven's Fifth. Did you know that? Were you aware of that?
Interesting.
Next time you watch Judge Judy, you'll notice it go, da-na-na-na, Judge Judy.
Never noticed
that. Yeah, it's really wild, man.
Wow.
It's wild. Anyway, so he's been looking up Symphony and he...
You've been watching Judge Judy obsessively for 10 years?
No, I'm just saying like just, you know, here and there, like it's... It's I'm a closet Judge Judy fan.
And my mother would get along great.
No, honestly, my mother-in-law loves Judge Judy.
Yeah, so does my mom.
All my mother-in-law does is watch court shows. She loves court shows.
Yeah.
She goes bananas over it. I mean...
Oh, your mother-in-law and my mom should go bowling. Or should go watch Judge Judy.
They should go to a mall somewhere and just judge people.
Exactly.
Hey, Darren, try using this one.
Are you sure? I think it's okay if I go like this.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to just give him a mic stand so that he's not...
No,
he doesn't like mic stands.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I know my guest,
Sonny.
Yeah. I know my guest. He wants coffee black, doesn't want a mic stand, loves that chair.
That's right. Loves that chair. Oh, no. Here we go. I might have to try that one out. Let's try it. Okay.
If the sound we're trying something new. As far as new...
Here we go. All
right. Hold on. As far as new...
Oh, wait. Is it on?
It's do you turn the switch on the microphone?
And we're back. How's that? Is my voice deeper?
Oh, it sounds weird on my headphones.
Sounds weird, huh?
Does it? Okay.
Do you want to trade microphones?
Let me try this one. No, I like this one. I think if I do this one, it'll be good.
Okay.
Like this. And I'll just try to...
We got to get another wire, remind me, honey. Another cable.
I'll kind of like hold the cable like this.
Instead of what's for dinner, we should call this...
What the fuck
trial
is wrong
by fire.
With
the trial by fire. And then you'll be apologizing next episode. Like, sorry, man. It's a 90-second pod.
Every episode, there should just be something going wrong. We should just call it fucking shit show.
I think
maybe that's how Marc Maron came up with it. You know, the WTF. Like, what the fuck? Like,
everything was fucking up.
He probably did like 1,800 episodes before he got it right.
Yeah, it was first called Marc Maron Happy Sunshine Hour. And then it slowly devolved to what the fuck?
Fuck, man. WTF. What the fuck? Pow!
You know what? Just talking about reality shows, we become obsessed with Bar Rescue.
Oh, my God.
You ever watch that?
Oh, I've only seen one episode, it's and you so can guess good. Which one I saw, right?
Dimples? The,
no. You saw.
Oh, really? They did Dimples?
Yeah, they did.
No, you saw Stand Up Scottsdale.
Yes, the one in Scottsdale. Of course. Yeah.
That's actually how we heard of it, because we had worked there once. And for those of you who don't know, Bar Rescue, it's on Spike TV.
It's awesome.
It's so goddamn good.
It's like this guilty, but you don't even realize you're going to be hooked on it, but... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's basically a reality show where this really world-renowned, I guess you would call him a nightclub...
Aficionado.
He's like, he's opened over 800 bars and nightclubs and helped turn them around.
Yeah.
And like a real legitimate guy. And he has a show where he goes to failing bars or clubs and... Basically says, okay, here's what's wrong with your club. I'm going to take it over for 5 days. I have complete power. I'm going to change and make everything better. And generally what happens is these places are
really resistant.
Very
sometimes.
Resistant because, you know, if somebody came into your business and said, your business sucks.
You're a failure.
And I'm going to fix it for you, and I'm going to change everything that you put your heart into, you're going to be very hesitant and probably a little insulted. And that's how most of these people are, even though they're losing money. They can't accept the blame themselves. So Taffer comes in, and it's great drama. They edit it so well, and I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, the drama is created through the editing, but they do it so well. And at the end, generally, he's right.
Yeah, and for the most part, they're, like, just madly in love with what he's done.
And they're like, you're absolutely right, I was a fuck up.
He's put in so much money and time and effort to, like, you know, just redo everything, even buy them new supplies, depending on what they're lacking in their supplies. And then he provides the large crowd, and he kind of gets them started, and then it's up to them to keep going.
Yeah, so it's so good because there's a lot of...
I've got two...
I'm sorry?
I've got two ideas for you guys.
What's that?
Okay, here's what we do. We pitch a show called Podcast Rescue.
We'll be the first guests.
All right. There's a reason you guys are failing. You guys are entertaining. People love you, but they're not able to hear you. There's cracking microphones. There's lost episodes.
Exactly.
So you have equipment. You think you hit record, but you're not.
The name sucks. It's not drawing people in. We got to change the name.
What's for dinner? The brand.
What's for breakfast? And then you'd show flip like, I don't know, man.
I don't know. Dinner. Nobody wants breakfast. Everybody wants dinner, man.
Are you kidding me? 24-hour breakfasts. That's what's in right now.
I don't agree. I mean, I'll fuck you.
Listen,
fuck you, but I'll.
I'm telling you, I'm going to provide.
You don't want me to be here. Yeah. I'll fucking leave.
I'll give you 500,000 downloads for the first episode. It's up to you to retain them.
Exactly.
And then at the end, you're crying. You're right, man. I'm at the top of the charts, and
I owe it everything to
John Taffer.
To John Taffer.
Oh, that's actually not. That's a good sketch idea.
I'm actually going to say it's not even that far fetched of an idea because I mean. Think about it, like Marc Maron actually has an IFC show now,
or just
about his podcast.
I just thought of another. I'm sorry.
You said you had two ideas.
Okay,
right. I interrupted.
But
hold on. Now, Ali, could you switch mics with him?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. It's just you're the important guest, and you should have the.
And I barely talk. I'm the woman.
Oh, stop! Okay. No. Just give him your mic.
Just trade mics.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was the wire.
Sorry.
You mean
I thought it was the wire? Oh.
Yeah, like there you go. Isn't that fun?
I'm all like trying to Yeah.
We were like, do we unplug our mics? Now, how about now? Can you turn me up a little bit? Or
hello?
Do you hear something?
You got to turn him up because I'm the one that's normally turned down.
Yes.
I yell into the screen.
Oh,
I yell into
the
screen.
Oh, can I teach you guys? Or not
no, 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 wait now. Okay, there we go.
Hello. One thing that I learned, of my failed podcast. No. After we did 213 episodes, I will say this. Dick was really good at teaching me some things with on the mic. Like, the guy, he was really good, man. He's a radio guy. Like, I used to get mad at him for, like, not laughing into the mic. I go, what are you doing? And he goes, go back and listen. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. Like, now, I'm very aware, like, it's better to, like, laugh, like...
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
that. Like I didn't know. I used to be like, but it would blow people's ears out, and it's overmodulated, and it almost sounds like someone's in the other room when you're going.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Little
yeah.
things like that. Like I was like, that's good. Another thing that I learned is I'm not.
I wish I had the Bar Rescue theme music right yeah. now. This sounds like it's.
There's yeah. really not theme thing. Music though. It just goes. But it's about bar science. Sorry, I gotta hold it from the bottom. I gotta hold it from the bottom, just like you.
I know. She's got the crackling microphone.
It's like, fucker.
It's like wise guys. It's like we're rearranging chairs on the Titanic, as they say. Nice. You get the broken microphone.
Wait, so you said you had two ideas. One
two
was
ideas.
The
No, I have three ideas. Oh, no, I have two ideas. I got a new idea, so it counts as a.
Okay,
two
so you have two more ideas.
Two more ideas. Okay.
So here we go.
That was good. See?
I did it.
Good.
Yeah. And then this would be harsh, and I'm sure somebody will do it, and I would not want to be on the show. Comic Rescue.
Oh my God, hilarious!
Where comedians do their sets, and then you got pros helping them out.
Isn't that what's happening at the improv
Fuck,
open mic
I hope
anyway?
That idea never takes off because.
But you know. See, at the same time, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Let's say when you were starting out.
Yeah. Well, see, it's one thing if you're starting out, but what if you're a 20-year veteran and they're like, flip, and they just start taking, you know, like shave your beard, start wearing a suit.
Well, you know what I would
love? Get a flat-top haircut. And you're like, no. And then you do it, and it kind of works, and you're like, it's working because the cameras are on.
That you know, that's very, because I actually had that thought myself. Because, like I said, we've seen Bar Rescue so much. It's yeah. literally, I hear that guy's voice in my head whenever I'm like, I'm kind of lazy, and I just said, what the fuck are you doing? What's your career? You got to fucking... So, like, and I thought, like, it would be interesting if there was, like, a comic rescue.
Yeah.
And not so much for me, as far as material.
You know what you need to do? Just hang out with my wife.
Let's say, for me, it's not like I would
My
be...
wife did... I love my wife, and she's probably listening, but there was a period where I went and bought, like, some really nice shoes, some slacks, some cool, like, $90 shirts with, like, they're called stays. You put them in the collar, keeps the collar stiff. And she was basically like, what are you doing spending all this money on clothes? Just write more jokes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, honey. But I would love a rescue as far as helping me manage my career. Like, I am so in the... Like, I know how to write for myself. I know how to structure my act. That I'm very good at. And I'm not trying to be egocentric.
Yeah.
I've been doing it over 20 years. I know my voice. I know how to write for myself. And I know what'll work and what won't work. What I'm not good at is selling myself. I'm not good...
I was just going to say, you know what? For me, what I'm not good at is I know my weaknesses. Whenever I do like an interview, like let's say it's for the newspaper or maybe for the radio, but radio you're kind of performing, so I don't notice it as much. But for like a newspaper article, when I'm on the phone with these people like and these journalists, they'll say something like, how would you describe your act? Like, what kind of comic are you? How would you, and I'm like, it's so hard for me to talk about myself like that because it just is hard. Like some people, let's say they're really like political, then they're like, maybe it's easier that way. I talk about my mind. I'm a truth seeker. I speak the truth. I don't know. Like that's for them. But for me, I'm like.
So what do you normally say?
Oh God, I usually just backpedal and get my way out of it and worm around to the next question.
If I were to,
because it sounds boring when I describe myself. I like to be likable, fun. It's you know, it just sounds like.
So, you know that's I say.
But that's a good explanation. I'm sorry.
I know,
because I'm like you and I were similar in that we don't have a very specific like.
You're fun monologists.
Yeah. Well, Darren's more than just a monologist. He's a performer too. You know, like I always tell people when they ask is I go, you know what, I'm like it's I can't put a label on my act. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll leave a show going, oh, that guy, you know, made me change my views about politics, or that guy made me think about relationships or religion. Da-da. I always say that when you come to my show, you're going to have fun.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. I say you're going to just walk away going, man, that was fun. That guy was funny. Yeah, he made me laugh and forget about whatever I was going through
right.
that day. You know, So that's how I always try to sell myself. It's just, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I kind of say that too. Then it's like, they're like, because it's weird to be like, you know, I'm very likable. It's like, it just sounds like you're an ass.
You know? You should say, I am the biggest dick ever. You guys are going to hate me.
Yeah.
But you can't help but laugh.
You walked, there you go. Or like someone like Bobby Slayton would be able to, you know.
Look, here's the thing, people. You come to my act, fucking broads are not going to like it. Broads are going to hate it. Okay? and the guys are not going to laugh because they're with the broads. So fuck you. Come on to my show.
You're more miserable than me. I'm married for 30 years.
I'm married for 85 years. Yeah. My wife's a cunt. How are you?
Okay, here's my other idea. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go.
So, what's it called? Bar Rescue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here's another. You like parodies. What about this? Roseanne Bar Rescue.
No, I like it. I like it. Where basically she's just, they take her off the island that she's living on, and they save the macadamia nut farm. Yeah. And
she had a reality show for a while called Roseanne's Nuts.
Oh, that's funny.
She really did raise an entire Hawaiian landscape full of macadamias.
I know she got into a little bit of a Twitter war with Tom Arnold the other night. I read the whole thing. It was like 42 tweets back and forth.
Really?
I had that kind of time.
You really do?
I was like, this is interesting. I mean, it was already like somebody had done the busy work, I guess, for Twitter. Like, it was an article, and they're like, click this link and see it. And I'm like, because I guess he had joked around about, you know, something like, just dropped off some stuff at the Goodwill, so you'll see. And he named like three things, and the third one was a punchline, and it was old wedding videos. Uh-huh. And then she wrote back very serious, like, to the effect of, like, I hope those aren't our old wedding videos because my children are in there. And then he writes back, remember when you used to be a comedian?
Oh, jeez.
And then it was like back and forth. And then, you know, and then it kind of ended nicely there where she's like, you know, your beautiful baby is lovely. And he's like, thank you. And what year was he born? Or no, what's his birth sign? And then she said he's, I don't know, like Sagittarius rising or something like that.
Did you see the roast to Roseanne a couple of years ago? When Tom Arnold literally stopped by at the very last second for the performance after saying, I won't do it. And then he just unannounced stopped by.
Wow.
And I forgot who was hosting. I think it might have been Seth MacFarlane. I don't know. But basically the host goes, ladies and gentlemen, somebody just dropped in. Didn't even have how usually in the roast they have prepared, like, this next comic used to be funny, but then they fucked a smurf or whatever.
Yeah.
He just goes, guy just dropped by, legend on Tom Arnold. So you could, you know, that it was like really a drop by. And Roseanne was like, holy shit. And he did a couple things and, you know, kind of roasted her. But then, because I hadn't talked for years.
Right?
Yeah,
at
it was
end,
very
like,
sweet.
Gave me a career or something like that.
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, it was very, very nice. So
nice.
Apparently, like, they're still, obviously, she's following him on Twitter. So they're still kind of in.
No, I guess.
I guess a publicity stunt sounds like.
He said something like, you know, he said something like, how did you, are you reading all my tweets? Are you talk about obsessed or something? And she's like, actually, one of my fans retweeted it to me and said, did you see this?
Ah.
Yeah.
So. Hey, just an idea off of what you'd said about Roseanne Bar Rescue. I've got another one. Yeah. It could be Barbara Rescue, where we like do Barbara Streisand's nose, we help Barbara Walters lisp, we do all the Barbaras that have problems in the world.
We That's deflate good. Barbara Hershey's lips.
Exactly. I don't know. That was silly.
And then we go to like haircut places, barbers.
Barber Rescue.
Barber Rescue.
And then we find old doo-wop groups and call it Bar-Bar-Bar-Bar-Bar-Baran Rescue.
Or Barber. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Bar-Bar-Bar. Or
Barbarella Rescue. And we'll just find her and just rescue her and bring her back to television.
Barbie Rescue?
Barbie Rescue. There we go.
Find her a man who has a penis.
I think that show, now you've seen more, because I've only seen that stand-up Scottsdale episode, but. Because
we've become obsessed.
I've played there a few times, and also I follow Howard.
Oh yeah.
You know, on Facebook.
Have you been there since they remodeled?
I haven't, but I just talked to him yesterday. He, I think that one was pretty accurate. Like, so that tells me that these things are pretty accurate, I guess.
For the most part,
yeah. I don't think they're maybe amping some things up. You know, of course for television.
Well, I think that specific episode. Like Allie and I noticed this. Like at one point. They send, you know, experts in to kind of like a spy to see how they run everything. And the one expert they sent into the comedy club, apparently, like, they showed her texting on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, look at that. She's on a phone during a show and nobody's coming to stop her, blah, blah, blah. and they made it seem like it was during a show, but we could tell that it wasn't
because totally
the people
the
around
show.
Her were talking and everything. Right. So it's like obviously the show hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
So like I think that way they kind of manipulated it a little bit, but
most of the other stuff they have tiny bits of ways just to like, because maybe it's not as terrible as it's coming out to be, but they're twisting it to be as terrible as it could possibly look.
Because in real life people really do text during a comedy show, but maybe they're like, oh, we can't really catch it because it's not well lit enough or whatever. But you know how like on that one, the comedy club, it showed how smoky it is. It really does get that smoky.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's hilarious. They called it a meat sauna.
The meat sauna.
Yeah. They all laughed.
Here it's a meat sauna.
And then Howard, and that really is how Howard is. He's like, what are you kidding me? It gets people, you know. Yeah, it smells like a barbecue in here.
He said something like, you know, it doesn't have to be funny. You don't go to a comedy club to laugh. I'm like, wow, that wasn't edited. You fucking said that, dude.
Sometimes you go to cry. Sometimes you go to...
Yeah, but like that's where like you would go to the theater where you're. It's unexpected how your reaction is going to be. You know, tragedy, comedy, the whole nine. But it was very funny how adamant it was that you could make people angry and make them come back. And it's like, that doesn't work. You can't make people angry.
I was there one time. And he actually whipped out his phone and was going through his Twitter mentions, and he would read how people were shitting on the club. And like, and he goes, oh, look at this, 18 minutes ago, this MC, blah, 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 blah.
And it's like that, but that you want to hide that information that other people aren't enjoying
it. I guess his take on it is like, and it was kind of funny though, because are you going
to
hide in the dark? Who said that? Where are you? And he read their name, like Cindy... _11, and then I saw her husband go right here. He's like, hi, how are you? This is awkward, and then it was, and then at the end of the night, she tweeted it was funny. Thanks for roasting me, or whatever the heck she said. And
maybe he's trying to tease it enough where people will be like, you know what, they're fun, they're self-deprecating.
I say, whatever the case, apparently it's running better now because like he won't book us anymore.
He probably will.
I talked. I mean, he's a nice guy, but he's like, dude, my rent is like this high, and now with everything going on, he's got like partners in the club now. He's like, they want to bring in, and it goes back to just better names, names that people know and everything.
Yeah.
That's the most insulting thing about this business is, like, I've been doing it over 20 years now, and I'm happy and proud of the reputation that I have, like especially among the comedy community. You know, people know who I am for the most part and respect what I do. But as far as mainstream, so fucking hard to break through that next level, man.
Well, I'll tell you something. And you were so good about this at first. When you really do not put desperation emphasis on the things that you feel you need to gain out of this, then you don't push those things away. By needing it and desperately feeling like life will not be complete without this next step, life will never give it to you. But when you calmed down and went, okay, you know what? Life is good. I'm just going to put my thoughts out in a good way. You booked a movie, a 20th Century Fox movie. Now, maybe it wasn't something that went right to theaters, but it was something that got your name in as the lead in a movie. And right
after
that happened...
By the way, that movie was 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Available now on Blu-ray and DVD.
But the idea being, darling, is that right when that happened, you fell back into the desperation. Well, I'm just saying, for any person out there who wants this career...
It's very easy to say that, but when you're... and I don't want to make this a pity party, so this is the last thing I'm going to say about it.
Darren Carter, the pity party starter...
Why does this always happen when you and I get together?
I know.
Because you were just talking about the business. It's the shittiest thing about the business.
I was just going to say that like I've had two or three different club bookers and owners in the past, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, say, it's nothing personal, Flip. We just need to bring in people who could pack the house.
Now, just let's backtrack a second here.
I don't want to make this into a pity party for me.
Well, Speedy, you already did.
This is good. I want to hear more of
you
this.
You already did. Yeah. So let me go ahead and try to counteract it with goodness, okay? So the idea, and our listeners know, and maybe Darren doesn't know because I'm not here as often when you guys are here, but I'm 100% in the positive thought process without the thought of negativity. And I'm sorry, but desperation and need are negative. The minute that you feel that you need something, it's not going to give it to you because you need it. Now, if you want it and you don't care if you get it one way or another, then it's going to come to you because it's what your desire. It's what you want. It's what you're putting out as your reality, and it will come to you. Now, you did this so beautifully right before. I'm going to tell you something, as you probably didn't know. we started getting really into quantum physics, which our listeners know I'm a little bit nuts about. But after a month or two of really trying to get Flip to really see that it's important to put your thoughts in a positive place in order to create the reality that you want, he finally broke down and did it and was totally all about, you know, good, just not worrying and not even like concentrating on the career, but concentrating on life in general and just thinking about how wonderful it would be to put out, you know, to help more people and all this kind of stuff. 2 weeks after that happened, got a random call out of nowhere. Why would you cut off what I'm saying?
No, keep talking.
It's background music.
This is so loud in my ears, I can't hear myself.
But you don't hear... is that too loud?
It's so loud in my ears right now.
Sorry.
It's okay. Just I was getting to something, and now I can't hear my microphone.
Take your headphones
Sweetie,
off.
Sweetie, it was a sweet thought. Can you take the
music
off?
No, it sounds good. It sounds good.
I can't...
I thought that sounded good.
I can't hear through this anymore. I can't hear anything. There we go. Where was I? I know it was trying to be sweet, but you don't understand. For some reason, my headphones blast whatever you play. Okay, so don't worry, be happy. But 2 weeks after you started doing this,
that'd be funny if you got mad right now. So turn that fucking happy
music. Would you fucking be positive already, you piece of shit?
Positive fucking message. My fucking eardrums are blown out. Now where the fuck was I? Oh yeah. So oh, yeah.
Don't cock block my story with your fucking Bobby McFerrin.
I was putting on background music. I thought that was an appropriate song.
I know, but I literally couldn't hear myself speak. It went over my volume on this, so I couldn't hear myself. Okay, well, anywho, as I was saying, once you finally broke down after months of belittling to get to this point. No, they don't know. You know, so let me say this.
We told the story before,
honey. Darren's never heard this, so let me tell our guest. 2 weeks, randomly, after he decided to start putting out goodness, he got a call from a director asking him to be the lead in his movie. 2 weeks. And then he went into the movie, and we started to, you know, I kept saying, we should keep studying about this stuff, because it's really important to realize that your thoughts create your reality. And he said, I can't concentrate on this while the movie's going on. And then you delved right down into the hole of the movie industry and the desperation and the need that comes with that. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm proof in the pudding. You can literally just put out happy thoughts and happy wants, and they will come to you without you even being able to avoid it. I mean, like, you just can't avoid it. I was placed here by the universe in multiple times. And I really have nothing else to credit but my happy and good thoughts.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy. It sounds absolutely nuts. But I could tell you stories. They've already heard the story, so I won't get into it. But when we're off of this, you won't believe the quote-unquote luck of which happens to me on the daily or weekly or monthly or yearly basis. And I swear it has to do with me not worrying and just putting out happy thoughts. So the thing I can say to any person in this industry that's frustrated or wanting, please try to backtrack and start thinking, how can I put out love to my fellow man? And then once you can start really doing that with ease, your wants will happen. They will just happen. There's no way to avoid it.
Everybody got that? Just think
positive. Cue the music.
Wait, cue the music.
Now cue the music.
Oh,
not
now,
when I'm speaking.
Now I can cue the music.
Well, not when I'm in in-depth.
Before we get... wait.
I can't.
I know. That's why it's not blasting you. Here's a little song I wrote. My wife says, think positive, you dick. Don't worry. Sorry.
You know what? I actually, to be honest with you, I don't like the idea that he says don't worry, because those are both negative words.
Oh, yeah.
So by saying don't worry, you're actually putting out.
But don't two negatives make a positive?
No, not in this sense.
Do two wrongs make a right?
Not in this sense.
Do two rights make a left?
Do two whites make a Wong?
Do two Wongs make a good stir fry?
How come I can't get booked? Wait, before we get positive and happy, I want to hear more.
Tell me more about your depression.
This is what I love about podcasts, because people are, you know what I mean? They're sitting in their cars, they're salesmen, things are going like shit.
They want to think about how other people are shitty and not ourselves.
Yeah, because but there is a time. You know what? It's funny. Like, this men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Is that where they're from?
Yes.
We're from penis.
Yeah. And then... And then my ex is from my Uranus. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, like, my ex is urethra.
So it's like they say, like, sometimes the person, the spouse, whatever, wants to just, like, oh, I had a shitty day. They just want to, like, express. And then the spouse quickly jumps in with trying to fix the problem. But the person hasn't really, like, vented yet. You know, and yeah. I notice I do that sometimes. My wife will be like, and then I'm at the thing. And I try to be too calming, like, right away. Like, that's okay. You know, and it's like sometimes the person just wants
just
to be
needs
like,
to get know? That just, like, ah, just shut the fuck up and let me vent and be angry for 5 minutes.
We do that a lot.
I know.
Flip always needs to vent.
And it helps.
Yeah,
right?
But you always do kind of try to stop before I have a chance, and that just gets me angrier.
Yeah.
It's like it's like somebody throwing up, and in the middle of them vomiting, you put your hand over the mouth going,
oh, yeah.
Stop. Like, there's more.
Yeah. And then there's another club in Cleveland. Fuck them. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how, like, lately, how it feels like, you know, and then we'll work our way into, like,
well, I think
perhaps fixing it.
I think for
this
me...
This will be a psychology session.
Yeah, again,
you guys
vent
to me and said, I will tell you what you need to do to be happy.
Honey, listen. It's obvious. I know your point of view, Allison. I know what your attitude and your philosophy is. And you... And all kidding aside... Please, keep your legs shut.
Sorry, I'm trying to get in a comfortable position.
All kidding aside, you know that I do come back to a positive place.
Can I pee while you're doing this?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I had that
coffee. I can pause it.
Okay.
I can pause it now.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet,
so we're gonna.
Nice.
Aaron's
I wouldn't take the chance.
Cool. I'll be right.
I wouldn't take the chance to.
Aaron's gonna go pee.
We'll talk, Flipper.
Okay. Well, what I was gonna say, honey, is that you know I owe, and I hate because we go. This seems to always happen when we get on the podcast. I always come back to a positive place. But God, I forgot my fucking train of thought. But
your positive place always has to do with.
No. What I was gonna say is just. Excuse me, this little bout of whatever I'm dealing with right now, excuse me, has so much to do with what happened, this isn't a huge part, but you know what happened earlier this year, that disappointment that I had, right? I'm over it, but that kind of started the little snowball, because that I thought was such a sure thing.
But don't you understand that you have created
it? See, this
it.
Is what I was talking about when you interrupt me when I'm trying to vomit out. Do you see
but
what I'm
you
saying?
You vomited this so many times. How many times more are you going to vomit this?
I'm just.
Do you still have more vomit in your soul?
Not about that. I was just going to get to the whole point. Stop. Don't.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead and keep vomiting. I just don't have a big enough bucket for you. That's
all I was
going to
say is that kind of started the snowball, and just the icing on the cake was just I didn't work a lot this summer. I didn't really travel, and like as a, I've been again 20 years. I've been doing comedy. I'm used to being on the road a lot. I'm used to the packing of the bags and getting to the airport and going on the planes and going to the club. And this whole summer, El Paso, which was May, mm-hmm. It was the last time I did any kind of road work. So we're already in fucking almost in August.
2 months.
We've been recording the whole time.
Oh, 2 months,
this is a
honey.
Really
it's been 2 months,
sorry.
And you're about to go out,
Darren,
again.
As a comic,
I'm loving this podcast. By the way, this is I'm really having a good time, and I apologize if I ruined my last appearance.
What are you talking about?
Didn't I ruin it? I don't know.
No.
I felt like I was looking up something on my phone. I spent like 12
minutes.
Oh,
you guys are so... You're so down on yourselves, boys. Come on, be positive.
as a comic who had been doing it a long time like me.
Yeah.
What's the longest you can go without like doing road work and making money before you start going out of your fucking mind?
Oh, you know what? I think... I don't know what the longest is, but I probably... let's say, okay, we're recording this in July. It's like the end of July.
July 24th.
So, like, if I have nothing in August, I'm okay with that. But if there was nothing in August and September, and then it's like, ugh, you know. But what I was telling this at the club last night, I like to, I don't know if there's a word for this, but I just call it shifting my thought process, kind of, which maybe is what Allison is sort of saying. And what I mean by that is I look at the, because here's the thing with comedy. When you're on the road, you want to be home. When you're home, you want to be on the road.
Exactly.
So that's just something I have, you know, I know that that's something that we deal with, and it's like a mindset. So I say, okay, now that I'm home, I know that I want to be on the road, but guess what? If I get out there and I got like, you know, I'm gone, you know, Wednesday through Sunday, then I'm home Monday, you know, a couple days, and I'm out again. Like, I'm not going to like that either. I'm going to be like, God, I'm only home for 2 days, and I'm back at the airport. So I know that try to be happy with where you're at, with what's happening. And I tell myself, also, I know this is, I've been doing this long enough to where you would think I'd know better, but I'm just now catching on. Like, these things go in cycles. you know, where you're like, God, I have nothing, and, you know.
Life happens in cycles. It's meant to teach you for evolution purposes.
Yeah, you know, where you're like, oh, because I was talking to a friend of mine maybe a year ago, and I go, dude, I'm getting really kind of depressed. Like, I don't have anything for a couple months. And he goes, dude, how long have I known you? This happens all the time. Next thing you know, you're going to be so busy. Sure enough, he's right. And I'm like, gosh, you're so right. Or it's like, you know,
Flip will be on the road for 6 months, and then he'll be like, I'm so sick of being on the road. And then he'll be home for 2 months and be like, I'm so sick of being home. And it just, I think no matter what, it's going to happen with any person who has. And doesn't not even comics. Any person who has a normal set schedule is going to get bored with the set schedule at a certain point and want the other schedule. The grass is always greener.
Yeah.
So
unless you're with Snoop Dogg, my grass is always the greenest.
By the way, Daddy's Pipes and Collective has been currently the provider for all of Snoop Dogg's bluntles. Oh yes,
we have.
So what I would say to you is this: like, okay.
Yeah, but so what I was just telling Allison, which is like. It's been over 2 months since I've been on the road, since I've really been like working.
It's been exactly 2 months.
Yeah, because you feel, you know what it is as a comedian.
You feel like you feel, I'm wasting my time. I'm rotting.
Yeah, and
I'm being forgotten about.
Somebody said this, and I thought it was really funny. Like, you know that famous quote: nobody's ever been on their deathbed or like on the gravestone. I wish I would have worked more, except for comedians. Like somebody said that. I read that somewhere. I don't even know where it came from, but I'm like, that is so true.
That is
for comedians,
really true,
you could be 92 and you're like, I wish I would have worked more.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Flip. cut to a year from now when you have that full script that you've been working on and you go, God damn it, if it wasn't for that time when I was out of work, I would have never gotten the fire under my ass to sit down and do this. And now it's the thing that's bringing me to the next step of my career. And maybe that's the case. But instead, you think negatively about it and you're going to push every one of those situations out of here.
I don't know what it is about being a comic.
Yeah.
There, and maybe I don't know. Like, there is, for whatever reason, something inherently bitter about us.
Narcissism.
Not narcissism. Just like when I got into the business, I remember thinking to myself, I never will be that bitter comic. I never will.
And you just
and
made
I
it.
And I find myself going, oh my God, I'm becoming the bitter comic.
But do you notice what you've said? You said, I've never going to be that bitter comic. You've put that thought into the universe, the word never, which is a negative, and you've also said the thing you don't want to be. So life went, oh, yeah? You don't want to be it? Well, here it is. Try to fight that. That's your new fear. Now I've handed it to you so that you could fight it and progress past it.
Life is
made up of fears specifically to overcome and surpass so that you can go on to the next step of your evolution. That's why we're here. Love you.
I'm going to continue talking now.
Jesus, I was... all you do is shit on yourself. And that's what all comics I'm finding do. They're shitting on themselves for all their things that they do. And I'm just trying to
first of all, and I think I speak for almost all comics out there, we find the best material in pain. Like, and this was something I was going to mention too, and not to go completely off subject for a second, but last night at Flappers Comedy Club, every week I host like the local pro-am showcase, and Darren dropped by, and Darren went up and closed the show, and it was really a great crowd.
Oh, it was.
And I remember hyping the crowd up, going, "Okay, you guys, the last guy's come on, he's gonna have, you know, you guys are gonna love him. You give him energy, you give it." And I go, "Darren Carter, the party starter," and you get up there and immediately go into like this really just low-key material, not no characters, no like, you know, you eventually went into, you know, the tried and true stuff, but you like. Yeah. You front-loaded it with this kind of heavier about being adopted and your birth parents and everything like that. And I'm sitting back there with Allison. I'm thinking, oh, my, he's just really opening up right up front. This is it's actually a side of you I've never seen on stage before.
I recorded it, so hopefully I can play it back and learn from it. It was cool, right?
Was that stuff you've never said before?
Some of it I had, but never like that. Like, never right in the front. Like, let's just do it.
That was great. I thought that you'd done that before.
Some of the stuff I had, but...
It seemed seasoned to me.
Thank you.
It was.
Some of it wasn't, though. I mean, it was just like, okay, I'm just going to go with this thought. What do I got
to lose?
About
the tree, the family tree.
Yeah.
Which we will find a...
I think I opened up the set, because I listened to a little bit of the recording this morning, and... I think what made me have the courage is I got laughs right away because you introduced me, and then I think I stepped on the microphone cord.
Yeah.
Right when I did that, the mic almost like mic stand almost fell.
Was that a riff or is that?
That was all a riff.
Really?
It was all a riff,
dude.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that was something you already had and you just put it into the situation.
No, because what did I say again? You said, oh yeah.
Yeah. No, go.
I said something about wait, you know what?
It was it was something like that guy flinched, and you're like, oh, what if you were like a big Harley Davidson guy, like, hey man, I don't, don't hurt me or something like that.
Shit on him.
If this doesn't
work, the fly, right? It was a fly.
If this doesn't work, I won't play it. But let's just see if this thing works. Oh yeah, look here. Oh, this actually records.
Young man comes to the stage, very funny man. He's as like big as a whale. You've seen him on the Tonight Show.
Can you guys hear it pretty good on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Thing work? This is a crowd that's been sitting there for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Almost 2.5.
Right there's where the microphone almost hit me.
Whoa. Man, that was... I'm glad I'm not, like, one of those guys that thinks it's all cool. I fucking flinched. That was bad. Like, this guy has the Sons of Anarchy. What if that was the ponytail, the Harley, or all...
Yeah. It was really funny though.
That was weird, man. They just stepped on the thing. One of those hardcore, you know, from the 90s gangster rappers. What's up, y'all? It ain't trips and shit.
Gangster rappers tripping.
Then here's where I started with the adopted stuff.
Alright, let's do this. If you're my real mom, say hey.
If you're my real mom, say hey. And then he's like, let's just turn the lights up. Let's do this. Come on. Where is
Where's
she?
Where's my birth mom? Are you out there? Mom, where are you?
And I was going to say, it's like kind of this, I don't want to say darker side of you, but a more serious tone to you. More like, and please don't take offense to this, like you were doing stand-up comedy, not kind of performing, doing like character-y bits. Yeah. And I'm like I said, it was part of your act I'd never seen before. And I know we had talked about this, like, offstage, just having coffee about some of this.
Yeah. It seems so. I totally thought that it was something you'd done before. It seemed so...
It seemed like
it was in perfect practice, like you've been doing it for a long time.
Like, some of it was... Because it was things I had thought about before. Like, I think I was telling you that one day. Like, I remember being 8 years old, playing in the cul-de-sac on my skateboard, and telling myself, if I get really good at skateboarding... I'll get famous and my real mom will be able to find me, you know? Aww. And so that's why I kind of brought that out there last night on stage. And I don't even remember if I got a laugh, but I remember.
I remember
thinking, like, you know how, you know what's great about being a comedian? Well, when you feel confident, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
And in a good room. It can't be like some shit room where you're bombing and it's just a coffee shop or something, or some, you know, comedy store and there's like three people. That it could suck. But let's say there's a good crowd like there was at the club last night. You know, flip, you know what I mean? Like, you've been funny long before you're a stand-up comic. I know that. And so it's like, you're going to, even if you were to go off on a little limb and no one were to laugh, you're going to quickly think of something that will get a laugh.
Right.
And maybe it's not something you keep, but you're going to be funny.
You know how to rescue yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of did last night. I said, let me just throw that thing about the skateboard. And it just kind of came to me, and I said, and I remember they laughed a little bit, and then I kind of followed up with a thought of, like, because I said, I mentioned how she was in prison at the time, and
I
don't think she was reading skateboarding magazines.
Right,
and I got a laugh, and I'm
like, it was.
But I don't know if I'll keep that or not. But that was just something where.
But it was when I would say it obviously came from a darker place in your life, a darker place kind of in your mind.
Yeah,
because it wasn't again. excuse me, it wasn't the Darren Carter party starter. It was Darren Carter.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, and again, I don't take offense or anything. I thought it was a very brave and big comedic step that you
Thank
took
you.
Last
I want to get more of those kind of steps so I can, you know, when you learn martial arts, like, you, let's say, not that I know martial arts, but let's say you do know, and you might just know, like...
I know Marshall Henderson. He was my friend in Hebrew school.
Yeah. Do you know Marshall Henderson?
Yes.
Could he protect you in a
well, he's an accountant, so he
Henderson?
Can protect...
Henderson's not a Jewish name.
Oh, don't put holes in my improv, honey.
Henderson.
Maybe Henderson, maybe he was adopted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know for a fact your birth mother was Jewish, so you're Jewish, but we are Catholic.
Right.
So,
idle, idle, deedle.
So I was saying, like, let's say you know, like, one method of, you know, like, martial arts, and then you learn another method. I'm like, I want to keep learning these different methods, you know, like, I've learned how to, you know, I know how to entertain certain, you know, using certain techniques and certain skills that I have.
Absolutely.
But what you just said, like going to a darker, braver, more not monologist, I wouldn't say, but like
no, just
a comedian, like what you just said, like
just a straightforward.
I don't know what that is, but I want to be able to do more of that. So let's say the naysayers that really don't care for what I do, maybe I can have proof to
you
them.
You can appeal.
Like,
it makes you.
Yeah, I'm coming from a place of fear. I shouldn't do that. Like, I'm looking, Allison. Those naysayers, I can prove. I can, don't worry.
I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. If you really start to think about what thoughts you have that come from fear and what thoughts you have that come from love, you will start to make little changes in your life. And when you notice the changes, you'll go, oh, shit. It's just got to be because of that. And you keep progressing forward. And it's amazing the things that will happen. I was going to ask you, because you said it comes from pain. What pain did you have growing up? You didn't have a bad family.
No, my pain, like, from... Personally, I was actually trying to write a whole thing about this, but yeah, growing up, I had a great family. Parents are still together after, 40 years, going on 40 years of marriage. I've got a wonderful brother. Knock on wood, I'm healthy. I'm not an addict. I was never abused. None of that. You know, I got picked on, had heartbreak. Everybody's got that
Everybody
kind of pain.
Everybody has that, yeah.
But the pain kind of came later in my career, because
someone like Brian Regan, like his, I don't know what his real life is like, but on stage he seems like a happy, well together guy that would probably, you know, I think he does have a mom and dad that are together. I heard an interview, there's eight kids and there's two kids and each, there's two people in their family that each have dual careers, like two comedians, two firefighters, two teachers,
But that's why I say, to say that comedy is only better from pain.
Well, no, not that it's only better from pain, but it just seems like...
It's cathartic for comics that have pain to make a set about pain, because it's a way to get people
I think a comedian's act, there needs to be some kind of, for lack of a better term, balance between shit that's really positive and things that piss us off. You know, because if it's always just like, hey, you know what else is great? That this. And hey, you know what else is great? Is this.
What's the deal with tampons? And it's kind of like, it's...
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And hey, have you ever noticed the line at the supermarket?
But if you talk about those things, those aren't pain. Those are just things that annoy.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's not pain.
I know what you're saying. Like, you would look at those kind of comedians, and those type of comedians will do the job, and it is... You could put him at a senior center. You could put him at an opening for a
cruise ship.
Yeah, and it's great. It's going to get the job done. But you think about who do we really like? Like when you know, like someone like, let's say I really like Bill Burr, and I'm like what's funny about him? And I'm like, he's sort of taking topical kind of things and making it really funny. And he did this really hilarious bit about these moms, stay-at-home moms, who say that they, you know, Oprah, I think it was Oprah Winfrey, and she brought out a guest, and she said, she has the hardest job in the world, a stay-at-home mom, and that really just irked him, and so he wrote this whole hilarious bit about it. Really, that's the hardest job in the whole world? Try asking these first responders, or these, you know, and he does a whole example of these military guys, and guys who go into the coal mine, that's the hardest job? Oh, come on, you're in your... You know, whatever, your bathrobe and slippers, you trump up charges on your little kid and send him to bed while you can watch Wheel of Fortune or whatever he says. And
it's hilarious.
I'm pissed off, irritated, and, you know.
See, I think that there's a difference, though. Like, the pain, like, the people that... we, as the audience, like to watch somebody that is... teasing things that make them angry or teasing things that hurt them when they were in whatever point in their life, because we like to see the human triumph over the shit. Like, we like to, we want to make fun of the shit because it's the shit and we don't want to deal with it. But I think that you can have a healthy balance of both. You can come from the things that annoy you. You could come from the things that are painful, but understand that that's part of your evolution's part of your balance, like you said. I mean, everything's got to have balance. And you can put that forward without being bitter. I mean, there's so many bitter comics, and they're so angry for real. I mean, it's okay to be angry.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay
no,
to
but
be fearful.
Flip isn't like that.
Flip is not an angry person.
There's just one guy that's like that, and he's moving. He's moving to New York, I heard.
Who's
well,
that?
That's...
This comedian. I'll tell you later.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I hate L.A. L.A. sucks. Fuck L.A. Blah, blah, blah. L.A., L.A.
Well, New York definitely
like,
caters to their angry people.
I know,
more.
Exactly. But I'm like, that same comedian is still going to be with himself, and he's still going to... May you know, I don't know.
But maybe he'll be around more enablers going, yeah, you're right, L.A. does suck. New York sucks, but at least we're here supporting each other in this shitty place.
Yeah.
You suck, I suck, we all suck.
You know what's amazing? For what you guys just said, you can come to L.A.
That's funny. That's funny. It's like ice cream, you scream, we all scream. For I suck,
you suck, we all suck in New York.
Yeah, funny.
I was going to say, like, people's thought process of L.A., of whether or not it's going to be a terrible place, when they come here, they always meet the worst of the worst people, and then they hate it more, and then they go back to wherever they came from. Most of the time, I mean,
that's,
you do
you know
hear
what's
this
funny
from New Yorkers.
You say that, like, and that goes even with driving. Like, people go, "What? You know, people in LA drive like shit." And then you look around, there's all these cars with license plates from other states, who I think in their perception they're like, "I'm gonna drive aggressive," because that's how they drive in LA, and then they drive like shit. It's like,
I think it's important that to realize that you are going to gravitate to who you are going to put your thoughts out that you are going to see. So I came to LA going, I'm going to just meet the nicest people because it's going to be creative, it's going to be fun. I don't have one shitty person I know, not one. And if I did meet a shitty person, I just wouldn't involve myself in their life. But I remember when I first moved here, people would say, oh, you love it? Give it 5 years. Give it some time.
Oh, I know.
Everybody's
I hate
so shitty here. And I'm like, well... How maybe it's because of your shitty attitude.
Yeah.
You're willing shitty people to your scenario.
Yeah.
So
I believe that. Yeah.
But it's the same with everything. It's the same
you
with
know
everything.
What it's like? Here's a good example. When you listen to when you watch like a let's say you watch a comedy movie. You're watching a comedic movie late at night, and then you drive home and you park your car and you walk up the stairs and things are just funny. You picture a banana peel on the ground, or you know, you're like, and there's my wacky neighbor, you know. Maybe they're hiding heads in the bathtub or whatever, like as a joke, right? It's comedic.
40 cattle heads.
Yeah, 40. Ah. Yeah.
All back.
40
honey,
heads
nice.
Of cattle Welcome. In the bathtub. Yeah, so, but then let's say you watch a scary movie. Now you're coming home and you're seeing everything in a scary way.
Totally different
you know?
Light.
Something changed.
Oh,
we're gonna Something changed with my headphones, but I didn't move them, so.
All right. Are you about to
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I think he hit a button.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I think the battery on the computer went dead or something.
It's all right.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, so anyways, yeah, because it happened to me with, I'd watched Deliverance, that movie, you know, the banjo movie, yeah. And so, and my cousin lives up in, like, Newhall, up in Santa Clarita. So after the movie, we got done watching at 3 a.m., I had to drive back to Burbank. And, man, I'm telling you, I was, like, freaked out because it was, like, I'm seeing, like, no other cars on the road except for this highway patrolman. And you're like, well, what if this guy pulls me over and has his way with
and
me?
Fucks
and
me in the air.
Yeah, exactly. And then
Burt Reynolds will talk. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, shoots him with a bow and arrow. And then I remember parking the car, and then I get on the elevator, and then this lady was dropping the LA Times off, but she looked like one of those hicks from Deliverance. Like she had like
oh, really?
Some missing teeth, looked like a meth head, and I was just like fucking freaking out everywhere. And you know, but if I just got done watching a comedy movie or let's say a porno movie, I would
fuck her.
Yeah, I'd be like,
it would
ooh.
Be turning. Oh, look at that hick with a missing teeth.
She like, she'd give a good blowjob.
She sure would.
A gummer. A gummer hummer.
40 heads of a cat. Okay.
But no, that I was going to say, there's actually supposedly. I mean, I didn't talk to this woman, but there's supposedly a story of a woman who was diagnosed with cancer, who did no chemo, did no nothing. Did know nothing. My double
so
negatives there.
Say she did everything.
She did everything positive. All she did in her life was watch comedy movies. She didn't watch anything that was depressing. She watched nothing but happy things. And she drank herbal teas and did a lot of like kind of you know, just good nutrients for the body and whatnot. And she told her body every single day to her body, thank you for my healing. And just believing that her body was fighting it on its own. And she said, thank you for my healing. And every day did positive things. She went back 3 months later, which was supposed to be the appointment for looking into the chemo or something like that. There was, I don't know, there was like a time period, whatever. But she went back and they did new tests and it was in complete remission. Complete remission. So it's like one of those things where it's the thoughts that you have if you'd watched a comedy movie, you wouldn't have been freaked out. You watched this deliverance. You now are in the thought process. You know, so it's so apparent that this helps in all aspects of life and how you.
But then there's
mind.
I know what you're saying. But then there's the part where Flip is like calling these clubs and like, I need like marquee names, and you're like, fuck you, I'm thinking positive,
No, but he wasn't thinking positive. Yeah. And I know for a fact he had a disappointment. He said this in the bathroom when you were there.
Yeah.
He had a big disappointment at the beginning of the year after he had had a lot of good things happen. He was like, oh, I'm on a roll. This is just great. And then the disappointment came, and then he got down on himself. He pretended he wasn't down on himself, but I know. I'm the wife. I can see it.
Well, no,
and then, you were down on yourself, babe. You were down. You were like internally down.
For like a day.
No, you weren't. It was longer than that. You were indirectly jealous of the people who had continued with the experience. And yeah. You pretend you're not. You go, oh, I'm so happy for you. But I could see the look in your eyes.
Yeah.
And then, a little bit bullshit.
But I also know that the opportunity is going to be coming back around.
Of course.
Again,
so. But that wasn't the point. The point was that you had such lack of faith in yourself. Yeah. And then he called up these places to be like, hey, can I get some work? And then they said, well, we need a big name. So it was exactly the thought that you weren't a big enough name yet. You would put that out there, and they did it for you. They created the reality that you said that you were envisioning. I love you. Please envision a better life for yourself. I'm attached to this now. So envision a better life. I'm doing it. I can't do it for you're like counteracting the thoughts I'm putting out for us.
You sweat positivity. You shit positivity. There's no way I could counteract your positivity. Like I
well, I'm kidding.
But positive.
But I just mean, baby, like,
how annoying would that be if two motivational speakers live with each other?
Oh, you know? It's a beautiful thought.
You're great. No, you're great. You're great.
It's utopia. I don't know, but we all.
I was gonna say, what if it's John Taffer and Tony Robbins together?
John, you really need to look inside yourself and find that light. Fuck you! You need to get your shit together!
No, he's not. You know for a fact. John Taffer. I'm going to defend my
okay,
I love John Taffer.
It's okay. It was a side note kind of thing. But I was actually... something that Darren was just talking about as far as seeing the comedy movie and Deliverance and everything.
Yeah.
That's so funny you say that because like, I am the same way in that I get so emotionally affected by whatever movie or TV show I had just watched. Like, I remember the first time I saw American Beauty. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
I walked out of the theater. I'm like, wow, life is precious. And I'm looking at the sunset going, man, I never thought this was... saw the sun this way. And I'm like, kind of in this weird, like, internal, just, what is it all about? And then the next hour, I watched The Naked Gun going, fucking, this is funny, man. Look at that. I'm in a goofy mood now. And then I could watch she knows I watch scary movies, and I'm like
what was the noise? Did you hear that?
Yeah, exactly. Like we'll watch like CSI or something, yeah. And it's like, you know, then the suspect broke into the apartment, killed the husband, raped the woman, and fucked the cat. And I just look at the front door, going, somebody could bust in here right now and just rape Allison.
Somebody put a diaper on my cat. A chastity belt.
I just love that a guy. Ah, shit! The cat's wearing a diaper. Now I can't fuck it. God damn it! These people knew I was coming.
Yeah. How can I get to this pussy?
But you know, when I watch those shows, it's funny. It's like I don't allow it to depress me. Instead, I like counteract the evil that's in the world with what I'm seeing by putting out the love. Like, for instance, this sounds so crazy, but it's the truth. I don't like serial killers. You know, they're not cool. They're not good. They're mean. And they're terrible people.
Wow, what a stand, honey. I don't like serial killers, and I'm not afraid to say it.
But I love them. Meaning that I understand that their reason for being evil is lack of love from either this life, a past life, whatever. So instead of watching them and going, what a terrible person,
too,
I hate
I'd
you.
I'd love to shoot him with my .45.
No, but
you can kiss this bullet.
But I feel like my reality bubble won't come into contact with people like that because I love them. I already love them. I don't hate them or fear them, so that the universe will have to provide them to my life to...
Damn, don't let them know where you live.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm going to provide my address so I can give you all this love.
No, I do it from afar, from a distance.
We came here for the love that you've been advertising on that What's for Breakfast show.
And not for... And not for one second do I say that any person who does come into contact with a serial killer or a rapist or something is deserving it. Far from it. I just realized that there are a lot of people that go through a situation like that who somehow can understand the human fucking turn that your brain took upon whatever abuse that you had or whatnot, and instead of hating them for what they did, love the aspect of them that's human and try to put some understanding out towards why they were so evil, because they were lacking so much love. And I find that there are victims who think like that, and they're better people for it than the people who will live for the rest of their life with anger and hate towards somebody that took somebody from their family, and I can't stand them. If I see them, I'll kill them. I mean, they're going to live with so much more upset in their life for thinking like that than going, you know what, this is just the most terrible thing.
Well, everybody, there's, you know, the five stages of grieving, and a lot of people, you know, sometimes get stuck on certain stages. Some people can get through the anger a lot easier than the others. You know, I think that's all just personal with whoever it is that's going through it.
My point being, though, the people that are able to get through it end up living the happiest life that they possibly can with such a severe, terrible loss.
Shock, denial, anger, acceptance. Is that what
it's,
it is?
It's
shock.
Anger. I don't think it's shock.
I think it's
anger.
Denial. Denial.
No. Well, let's say this happened, because I felt like I was going through those stages, and this sounds so silly, but my one of my favorite watches broke, and I was like, and it wasn't just the wristband. It was like I was on the road, and she goes, "No, this is unrepairable." I'm like, "Are you no no?" And I was just like, I was denial.
You couldn't believe it.
I was denial.
Denial.
Or shocked.
I'm gonna bargaining.
Yeah, bargaining. I was like yelping. Where else can I go? Fuck you. You're awful. And I was like, there must be a watch store that can fix this. She goes, no, look at this. This is totally.
No, it's anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance. I think that's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to look them up right now just to make sure.
I just love it how she's like, you know, serial killers, when they kill your family, and you're like, I know what you mean. My watch broke. Like,
yeah. I'm telling you, this was a G-Shock, guys.
And I
those are nice watches.
I really don't want any of our listeners to think for one second that I condone anything that I just said. Just anybody who's been in that position, to be living with anger or living with fear isn't going to help, is my whole point.
I have a buddy who's really into watches, and I go, hey, is this a nice watch? And I showed him my watch, and it was in a dark comedy club, and when I hit this little button, he goes, no, dude, indigo light? Not good. Any
funny.
Watch that has an indigo light? Not. And I was like, really?
So yes,
so indigo is the kiss of death for a watch.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I didn't know that.
It's getting fuzzy, by the way. Whatever you're doing is getting a little bit fuzzy on my end. I don't know if it's going through the whole thing, but
I hear you clearly though.
Number one, denial and isolation. Number two, anger.
Let's talk about this watch. So the watch breaks. At first, you're denying it. No, it can be fixed. Okay, next step, next level.
It is anger.
Damn it! How come this happened to me with this fucking watch?
Bargaining.
Maybe I could trade up and get the exact same one.
Depression.
Damn it. It's not out there anymore. They stopped making that model.
I love how it was damn it, but just with a tiny bit of a different inflection. I was like, damn it! Or damn it.
Yeah.
And then acceptance.
Damn it. Time to get a new watch.
I accept the changes that I cannot make and the I don't know what those.
Yeah, that's it. Something like that. I accept the.
No, there's like a freaking. That's I'm like not a, Christian, but there's like
an
a Bible thing.
It's like a thing from AA. I think,
I accept the. I accept the things that I cannot
well,
change
AA is
or something like that.
Five, right?
No, but it's I
accept the.
I accept the things that I cannot change. Oh God, hold on one second.
We're
let me just.
We should know the AA.
Let me just type
mantra.
That shit.
<AA.
laughs> Nice. I just love.
So what other you called some other clubs? Flip, I want to know about this. So, and they.
Yeah, I actually and one of the clubs was actually. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know whatever it is, what connection it is to my earphones, but anytime you fiddle with that, it like crackle, like blows out my ears. I don't know if it goes through the thing, and it's probably
yeah.
Doesn't,
we don't. I tell you, I'm going to put your headphones all the way down. You won't be able to hear yourself.
No, I want to hear myself. I want to hear.
Well, then
you
might hear crackling.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't want
to. I want to work through this. I'd like to hear this and kind of work through it. Like, let's figure this thing out.
Well, like I was talking about, like Howard,
yeah.
You know, and it's so frustrating because on one hand, I get it. they need to make money. You know, it's show business. There's, without the business, there's no show. Blah blah blah.
And do you look at the?
But at the same time, it's
so,
like
so he'll say, I need a marquee name, and then did you go to the website and you see the names? You're like
yeah,
and you're like yeah, some of it you're like. Like, okay, I get that
here,
name.
I'll tell you, there's a club that I spoke to the booker/owner a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And this person was like, same thing. They said, you know, it's nothing personal, Flip. It's just we need people who could pack the house. And I looked at who's coming, and I've been to some of their headliner shows, and I know for a fact I've got just as much, if not more, credits than these headliners. And when I've gone to their shows, it's not packed.
Right.
But, and part of me wants to just say this to him going, well, you know, you've got so-and-so in here, and I was there, and they did not pack the place. I can guarantee I could at least bring that many people in.
But that's...
I'm sure most of them were walk-ups anyway.
You know
but
what?
Then,
I'm going to put them on the defense.
I don't want to put anyone on the defense
here's
and
an
leave
idea.
That
here's,
taste in their mouth.
Here's an idea. And I could be wrong about this, but I think this could work. With situations like that, with what you told me off mic, certain, you know, like they said, the power of no. Like, I for a long time, I just stopped working certain clubs. I was like, I'm not going to go there for that money or for that position. And then, they hear through the grapevine that you're doing really good and that you are playing other places. And next thing you know, they would, my reps or whoever would reach out, and then I'd actually get those spots because I wouldn't, you know. So maybe sometimes it's good just to say no. I'm not going to go there for that amount or that.
Well,
or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but the other thing is I don't have reps. I do this all on my own.
God, so grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I got one for you. He who smelt it, dealt it.
That's wise, man.
That's wise.
Confucius say, Confucius man who sit on toilet seat, man who stand on toilet seat is high on pot.
Confucius say, man with sexual problem, wake up with answer in hand. speaking of answer in hand, is that a segue?
I don't ever think you really need to segue into this.
I know. Every time I try to come up with a
wait,
more.
I feel like we still didn't get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
Babe, well, no, let our guest, let's just go. We'll just go.
We'll just keep talking.
We can make it a two-parter if it needs to be.
Okay. Darren Carter with a two-parter.
If
they're listening to this, are they, well, let me, okay.
No, I was going to, so as far as that goes, like I said, I do this on my own.
Because
so
I will say this. I had that moment a year ago. I was at the Miami Improv, and I had a good week, you know, but it was one of those weeks where you're like, okay, there's some people that know me, some people that don't, whatever. And then I remember them just losing their mind, like the waitresses and the manager, they loved Steve-O who from Jackass. And they had autographed a knife and they placed it like in their office. It was a knife from the kitchen because I guess he juggles it or, and I was just like, wow. And they were like, you know, hey, Darren, you're funny. It was great working with you, blah, blah, blah. Just the normal pleasantries. But they were just like gaga over this, over Jackass, you know, over. And I remember thinking like, wow, I've got to step up my TV game because, you know, you realize it's not just the credit. It's like that thing.
Seeing you on TV all the time.
Well, it's part of a phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know.
But also he's a hometown hero. Isn't he from Florida?
Is he?
Jackass started in Florida. All those boys. I'm almost positive.
It might have been Central Florida. I don't know.
No. Johnny Knoxville used to always be around the poorhouse. The elephant shit sketch was in Boca. I mean, they were all over the Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County area.
A lot of the some of that Jackass stuff, and I know this because I was there, was done in Florida, was done because he was shooting Big Trouble down there in 2001.
This is when the show started. I remember when the show started, there was an elephant shit sketch.
Johnny Knoxville's from Tennessee, hence Boca. His name.
Yes, but sweetie, they had filmed, where
Steve
they're from.
Steve Orlando. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I don't know. I could be completely talking out of my ass here, but I know that they filmed like a lot of their first.
Google it, honey, and then.
Okay, where did they film the first?
We'll talk, and then you let us.
But that was the feeling. That was the feeling I'm saying, like whether it was perceived or real.
But see,
I remember
something like that.
Yeah.
Hearing like, oh, Steve-O, he's fucking great, or we had Screech in here. I'm like,
Yeah.
They're not fucking comics. They're they're recognizable people.
Yeah, they are.
That are now going, hell, I can make more money just by appearing live and being stupid. And
it was nothing against him personally. It was just one of the. It was just a feel. It could have been fill in the blank, and I would have still felt that way. But it's like, it's just a weird like.
See, I would see if they said like you know, like you Darren, yeah, you were great. We love having you. But fucking
Honey Boo Boo's coming here next week.
Oh God, just shoot me in the head. I'm done with comedy. If Honey Boo Boo starts doing comedy, I swear to fucking Christ.
That could happen, dude. That could totally
happen. Oh my God.
I remember I was in the green room with Lonnie Love about a year ago, and she goes, "Comedians, y'all need to, we need to keep just getting out there doing our thing." Cuz she goes, "These are, you know, cuz remember how like movie stars kind of dropped down and started doing television, and then television stars started doing commercials, and then the commercial actors were out of work, and then reality kind of took over."
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, fuck, dude. Imagine if they started just taking over comedy clubs. Because some of these club owners, they need the marquee name. We need, like, a Honey Boo Boo or the Housewives of Beverly Hills or the Orange, the Atlanta.
I know. You're absolutely right.
You know?
It's so fucking scary.
Oh, you know who did comedy? You know who's doing comedy? Those Persians. The what is it? The Persians of Sunset or the...
The Shahs of Sunset?
Shahs of Sunset have a comedy tour.
Oh.
And they take, from what I understand, the... what's his name? The gay one. I don't know his name.
From the show?
Yeah.
I never watched
the show. The guy has, like, the cool haircut.
I never watched the show.
The tight buns. He's so... That guy.
Is there something else you want to talk to us about? You know, the one with the really pretty haircut.
You know the gay one? He has, like, those kissable lips and the twinkle in the eye.
Like, kissable lips. I have no idea. I never watched the show.
And Florida Clown Steve-O. It says that he's from Florida.
Thank you.
Just letting you know. I'm reading the whole article, but it does say that they included... so Steve-O, and he was known as a Florida Clown Steve-O.
I think they would have liked him no matter where he was from, though.
Yeah.
This club could have been in Detroit.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think that...
They would recruit Steve-O in a Florida flea market where he worked as a clown.
Okay.
Dude, so here's what I solved your problem. We need to go to clown college, hang out at flea markets, the next thing you know, we'll be
signing
knives.
You know, I remember
knives.
In the 80s, there was a former Ringling Brothers clown to start doing comedy. I remember seeing him all over TV. He used to, like...
Chaz Elsner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would do the backflip.
Yeah, and he would always get a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, how would you do that? And he said subliminally when you'd go, it's like a ta-da, and he'd put his
hands
up.
Yeah,
like this.
Exactly. I remember.
And he'd kind of put his palms up, like, and then kind of, like, give, like, a quick flip, and the crowd would go, like, yeah, and he'd leap to their feet.
Yeah, you know? I remember that. I remember seeing that on TV.
What was I talking about before the Steve-O thing?
Marquee names and Lonnie Love and reality TV and
Shahs
of Sunset, the gay guy you have a crush on.
Yeah. So, what's his name? Raza or something. Anyways, whatever. So what they'll do is, like, these kind of reality shows, they'll get the marquee name to host because everybody knows, oh, the Shahs of Sunset are there. And then maybe they'll take, like, a second sort of second banana type player on those reality shows. They'll have them on the show as well. And then they'll have, like, a couple of, like, real comedians who really do all the fucking heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And guess what? From what I understand, the star of these shows are getting, like, $5,000 at least, flying first class, staying at their own separate hotel. And then, like, the comedians are getting, like, hardly any money, flying, you know, whatever.
How is that right?
From a business perspective, that's the way it is. But it's like, it sucks. So how do we figure it? We got to figure out, like, how can we? You know what, man? Joey Medina, I love this guy. He says some funny stuff every now and then. He'll say something that's
every
really
now and then.
Yeah, I know that didn't sound right, but he said something the other day that was like, gosh. He goes, you know what? One day I want to get something I don't deserve. You know, where people are like, how the fuck did he get that? He's like, I want to be that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No,
he said something like that, where it was like, he was talking about one of these overnight success comedians that does something, and then, you know, they've been doing it for 2 or 3 years, and next thing they get some runaway YouTube video, and then next thing you know.
I know. It's
and then they kind of grow into it. It's not like people are like, oh, the person sucks. But guess what? You keep headlining them. They keep doing all those shows 7, 8, 10 years. Doing sold-out shows, you're going to get good.
I would hope so.
You know?
But then there are guys like us who've been, like, working our way up through the fucking trenches, really. Like, here's the thing. Like, those guys who get the overnight, and I'm not going to say any names or anything, but they were almost immediately put in that headline position, playing in front of hot crowds.
Yeah.
And you can't help but rise to the... level that you're assumed to be at already.
Yes,
when you're exposed to that much.
If you have a modicum of talent, like if you kind of do have some talent, you will.
Yeah, you'll rise to it. If they put you in front of 300 people a night, you know, 7 shows a week for 3 years,
and then,
you will be a headliner because you you have to learn how to do that. But you take those same people and put them in a shit bar, put them in a place where nobody knows them when they're not there for comedy, and see if they can rise to the occasion. Whereas guys like you and me, that's where we started. We started in those bar open mics. We know how to work those rooms. Right now you could put us in front of 800 people or in front of 5 drunks at a bowling alley, and either way, we will bring whatever the top level of that crowd could be to that level, you know? But unfortunately for guys like us who don't have that big pop, that big thing yet, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And just let you know, he's from Miami. He went to Miami University or University of Miami, and he was in the Ringling Brothers Clown College, and he actually used to perform as a clown at the Fort Lauderdale Swap Shop. So I'm telling you, he's a hometown hero at the same time. I think they're... It's not that they're just appreciating the huge...
We have left the Steve-O
dream. I know, but you told
station.
Me to read about it, so I've been reading
I just
about
said
it.
To find out if he was from Florida, and you're like, well, here's his bio. His real name is Steve-O.
Now your
Odersteen.
Wife's a big fan. See, I know. This guy like,
I want to go see Steve-O. I could see why he's appealing. Could he sign a knife for us? That would be awesome.
But I just didn't want you to like feel, but I think there is a little bit of an aspect where
if you want to get technical, I'm from Miami. I'm a hometown guy.
But it's
I
the
started
idea.
At those clubs. So it
you're like, I signed a knife and I got banned. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean,
but
it,
he's
I
become
don't think
a household name. He's become a household name.
Exactly. So again,
Flip,
I don't
you
think.
You stopped defacing the property in the kitchen.
You're right. Steve, I'll say, oh, I'll sign a knife. Flip. Great. Now we got to buy a fucking new knife. Thank you, Flip.
And actually, people do love you in Florida because you're a hometown hero.
I know, but. When was the last time I played Florida at the Improvs?
Well, you need to get... When was the last time you talked to Dilly?
I've tried calling Dilly several times. He never calls me back.
Who's Dilly? Mm.
Eh.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, that's a nickname?
No, she's just... I know what she means.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Dilly is a word she'll insert for something that she can't think of the actual word in the moment.
But in this moment, I knew the word. I just knew not to say it.
Well, here's what you do. Here's what I'm thinking. Because when you personally reach out to this Dilly... Then it's kind of like he puts you in his mind in a different category than like people he has to deal with an agent that contact. You know
Trust me, I wish I had an agent that could do this. Like I don't know.
You know these entertainers that get like a fake name and a fake PO box. That'd be hilarious if you did it and they actually busted you because you're still in the Skippy Green voice.
I know. Hey, how you doing? This is Morty Shine. I'm calling about half of Flip. Flip, you're doing Skippy Green. Bye.
That's great.
How dare you hang up on
that's
me?
What actually
I mean, him, us.
You should. That's actually really funny of how to pitch both ideas, though. Call up clubs as Skippy Green, which is the manager of Flip Schultz, and then only people in the know will know that it's the same person, but then you'll get
or
booked.
Or anybody who does any two-minute research online.
But it's just funny that you're showing both the characters.
I just say.
But I wonder if
well,
it
who's
sounds
Skippy
like...
Green? Oh, it's Flip.
I guess, well, do people wonder if it's a real person? Because it...
Skippy?
Yeah, but I guess if you're not expecting it, and then...
You mean on stage?
Yeah, or just if you were to call somewhere.
It's so weird. Him and Flip are never in the same room together.
There's a guy that... I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I actually, it's funny. I had somebody recently email Skippy Green saying how much they're a fan of his. And emailed directly to Skippy, not to me, going, hey, I'm a fan of your character. Emailed Skippy, hey, I'm a fan of yours. I like saw your stuff on YouTube. I thought it was great.
They probably don't think that Skippy is a different... They probably think that he's, like, obviously a person who's a character, but that the original person underneath Skippy isn't an actor or anything. Like, Skippy's their only...
The only people underneath me are you and whoever else I'm in the mood for.
Well, hello, Skippy.
Hello,
Who are you again?
That sounds real. My eyes are closed. That sounded real.
Yeah, he's the real. He left real quick. As soon as you open your eyes, you ran out of here.
Yeah, he's back.
Skippy's like the tooth fairy. Like when you're asleep, you get.
I sneak in your room and I leave money under your pillow, but don't ask what I do to your mouth.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Will you be missing a tooth?
I like to play with your teeth, but while they're still in your mouth, and I like to use my Johnson.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad said, "I'm going to take. Do you know who the tooth fairy is?" I said, "What, a gay dentist?" Anyway.
Oh.
Anyway.
Sorry. So whatever we were talking about, I think the main thing is we just
So how does a comedian become a marquee name? Because it's
so oversaturated now.
Yeah.
It's like, I think my problem is, my mindset is still where it was when I started in the early 90s and what I knew from the 80s, which is, you get on the Tonight Show, you know, you get on whatever, and you're going to start working all the big TV circuits, and then you're going to start doing comic relief, and then you're going to start getting little roles in movies, and blah, 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 blah. And times have changed. And, you know, as much as I do a podcast and I have a YouTube, I haven't embraced it to the full potential.
Well,
because I think I'm still kind of going, but all I need is that one, like, Comedy Central special, and that I'm like, nah.
Why don't we do this? Like, after we get off this podcast, we'll, let's look at some of these comedians that are marquee names, but maybe not the obvious ones, like, you know, Louis C.K., obviously, but, like, someone where we're like, and then let's kind of see, like, what is this guy doing? Like, what is he doing? Like, let's, is he putting up a YouTube video every week? Is he putting, you know, maybe let's kind of see what the hell these guys are doing.
Can I tell you what I think from an internal perspective, something that you would never be able to look up on their page, nothing that you'd be able to see of them posting on their Twitter or whatnot. But do you guys believe that you're going to get to the next level? Like truly in your heart and soul? Or, I mean, I know from Flip's end, he's becoming bitter about whether or not he's going to get there. And you are the one who's not believing in yourself. And I think that a lot of
there's a big truth to that. Like, I about myself, I'll say, like, I talked to, I did a half hour special on Showtime.
Yeah.
And then I did a podcast with the guy that produced it.
Dick and Darren, yeah.
No, I did
a different one.
Yeah, okay. I was at Universal Studios, but I was a guest. And then the producer of my special was also a guest. And as he was talking, he was like, so Darren, when you're ready for your 1 hour, let me know, and blah, blah, blah. And then my heart kind of skipped a beat where I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not ready. And it's that thing of like, I want to know that, am I ready? Can I do it? And then I want to be able to present it like, yes, I'm ready. But maybe you're always feeling like you're not ready. It's almost
that's
like
the thing.
You know, like, am I ready to have a kid? You're never really ready to have a kid. And then you do it, and then you're like, wow, I did it. Ready to have
that's
another
a little,
one.
That's a little different because you're not writing. I mean, that's, I mean, when it comes to, if, like, at that point, maybe you didn't have an hour or that you were ready to do or whatnot, but by saying, I don't think that I'm ready, as opposed to going, I am ready, and telling...
Haven't you seen these other people that do an hour, and you're like, God, they thought they were ready, and they did it, and they suck, you know? And I'm like...
You have to speak about the future in the present tense, because speaking about the future in the future continues to put it off in the future. And this, you don't really know too much about me, but I know our listeners know, I'm all about talking to the universe, not necessarily like God per se, but like an energy and understanding where my thought process is creating my own reality. I'm in a sense my own God. So the fact of the matter that if I say
praise Allison.
No, I praise me. Like I'm the creator. You praise you. You're the creator. You don't praise me. So the idea being that if you say, I'm ready, it's a current thought about what you want in the future. You say, I'm ready. Now, maybe you're not ready. Maybe you don't have that full hour. But saying, I'm ready now creates the muse that you are going to use to become ready. Like, that's the thing. You say, I'm ready. Just like I, at this moment, say, I'm wealthy in abundance. I don't like to say I'm rich. It's a difference. I'm wealthy in abundance. And I am a successful sitcom star. Or, you know, all the things that I want for myself. I say it now. Now, maybe it won't happen tomorrow. Maybe it won't happen, in a week. But I believe that it will happen in a certain period of time within me continuing to think like that. But the minute I go, man, it didn't happen in a week, it didn't happen in a month, then that just means that this magic bullshit is bullshit, and I'm going to stop thinking that way. And now the universe, which has been like setting itself up for you to get to that point that you want, goes, oh wait, shit, she doesn't want it anymore. She doesn't want it. Let's just backtrack. Let's give her what she wants now. She wants shit. Let's give her shit. So by you saying I'm ready, even though you're not, It's the fabulous game of make-believe we used to play as kids. You have a child, so you get to watch this through his eyes. He believes when he plays make-believe that he's a cowboy or a freaking bank robber or whatever, you know, the little games our little boys play. They believe it because it can be no other way. That's their thought. And that's the same thing I'm trying to teach adults to do, is play make-believe. People go, oh, I shouldn't think that I'm rich right now because I'm not rich. play make-believe. It's fake it till you make it. It's fake it until you make it. So that's my advice to you guys. You don't believe in yourselves. Your comments that you're making are meaning that you don't believe. So start going, fuck it, I'm great. And I know that I'm going to get to this. But no, not going to get. I know that I'm at this point now. I am at the point that I want. I am a movie star. I am a Steve-O signed friggin' signed knife guy.
I am Steve-O, Darren.
I am these things.
I am Steve-O.
And no, Allison, listen.
You know what's funny? I was outside my acting class about 2 months ago because we run lines on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You know? And before we go, you show up to class, he gives you the sides, you guys run lines outside, and then you go do it, right? Guess who's walking his dog right in front of all the actors?
Steve-O.
Yeah. It's really? Right there in West Hollywood, yeah. I think he vaguely recognized me, because I go, hey, or maybe he just thought I was a fan, because we both kind of looked at each other like, hey. I smiled kind of like.
And then Fat Albert came out.
Nice.
I don't want to, this is a fun conversation, but I actually have to leave in a half hour for that doctor's appointment.
Okay.
So if we wanted to watch any kind of video or anything,
okay.
We would have to, because I mean, I really am enjoying this conversation. And Allison.
Couldn't you change the doctor's appointment?
No.
Oh, okay.
And it's too late to.
Okay.
But I was going to say, and I know.
What call that doctor and be like, you know what?
I flat tire.
No, say, yeah, you could say that. Or you could say like, you know what? I'm only going to marquee doctors.
Nice.
Make him feel like shit.
It is doctor. Actually, her name is Dr. Markey.
Oh, doctor.
She's Markey. Markey Mark. I'm going to Dr. Markey Mark.
Is he going to give you his thing in his underwear? He's going to give you the.
That's like she's going to my doctor today. I was hoping we could grab lunch or something.
What's that?
I was hoping we could grab lunch or something.
Yeah, why don't you just change the doctor's appointment? I've got a flat tire. I'm terrible.
Because they require a 24-hour notice or else they charge me.
Oh.
So, and then after that,
where's your doctor?
It's just on up on.
It's right around the corner?
Yeah, but I got to be there.
How long is the appointment going to take?
I
got to
be there at 3:15.
How long is the appointment going to take?
An hour.
For sure an hour?
Yeah. But then I got to start getting ready for that other thing.
You're so freaking busy.
Was your foot hurting? Was it your foot?
My knee.
Was it better? You haven't talked about it lately. It must be feeling better.
It's getting better. Like I'm learning to do stretches and things
we
like that.
We realize when he doesn't focus his energies on it, he doesn't think about it. Same thing with my back. That's the key to everything. Don't focus on the things that are negative and you focus on the things that are positive.
Uh-huh.
I'm disgusting, aren't I? Darren, you've never seen this side of me before. I'm a little gross.
It's like, you know what's so funny? Everybody who knows Allison is like, oh my God, she's so great. She's so positive. I'm like, yeah, it's really great when you're around her for a couple hours. But when you live with the bitch.
Oh, I'm no, so bitchy. I'm like, will you freaking believe in yourself already and be positive? I'm such a cunt. Believe in yourself.
It's at Flappers last night, one of the servers, Jackie. You know Jackie? Like the shorter girl, really
yes.
cute face. Like,
yeah.
She goes, oh, Allison is so great. You're so lucky. Allison's such a great girl. And I go, everybody fucking says that. And I'm like, nobody ever goes the opposite. Nobody goes to Allison like, oh my God, Flip is so great. It's always like either they go, Flip, you lucked out. Allison is so great. And they go, Allison, Flip is lucked out. You are so great. It's never the other thing.
Baby, people love you.
I love you.
Here's a joke I'll tell you guys. This is true. It really happened. And I think it'd be a good joke. And I'm thinking about putting it in my act. This is years ago. My wife and I, we lived in a studio apartment. And I just had that moment of like, we'd just been married for a couple of years at that point. And I remember just looking at her and looking at the four walls of basically nothing. And I was like, you know what? I'm so happy that I have you that I just see what else is out there, and especially in this area of town, in Hollywood, that I'm just so happy that you're not a gold digger. And then she goes, I am. I'm just very patient.
Nice.
That's
well
great. I should use that. Yeah.
That's great.
A great joke. Yeah. That's
I'm very,
very
patient.
That's a good tweet.
Is she a comic or writer?
No, she's a comedic person who says funny things and sometimes I'll I have tweeted things she said before, and then it's funny. She one time she got mad at me and she's like, stop tweeting things I say.
Oh, I love it.
That's funny.
Oh yeah, it's kind of funny because she's a funny person, but then like. It's kind of messed up. Like now that I'm in the, you know, like the family, like her aunts and stuff will be like, Darren's so funny. And it's sort of like I'm taking credit from, you know, like your little boy's so funny. He gets it from his daddy. It's like, well, he kind of gets it from
his mom.
Yeah.
I know people think that too. Like both of my parents are funny. But my dad's more of a, what's the word, honey? Goof.
He's more goofy funny. Your mom's more direct, Jewy funny.
Yeah. It's Goofy and Jewy. The new Disney characters.
Goofy and Jewy.
Hey, Jewy. What, Goofy? What do you want?
How would that, what's that mean, Goofy and Jewy? Like, what would she be like?
Like my dad is more like, my dad, I can't have a serious conversation. Even when I try, I'm on the phone with him, like, you know, Dad, have you been going to the doctor for your heart? He goes, no, but I've been going to this other girl for my dick. I'm like, could I have a serious conversation
He's
with
you,
Dad?
He's in joke mode. That's funny.
But yeah, but that's flipped as the exact but same thing.
And how would your mom do? How would your
and
mom?
And then I say, hey, Mom, has Dad got to the doctor for his heart? She goes, no, he just doesn't care. He'll die. He'll die soon. It's okay. So
yeah.
How's Allison?
Oh, yeah.
So, not. I mean, she's never actually
My wife
said,
can be like that a little bit, you know?
She's not like that. You made you painted her to be way more negative and like
not negative. My mom.
I know what you're
like,
saying though. Like more like she says what you're.
She's not when it comes to humor. Yeah. She's not goofy.
Yeah.
She'll like just.
She's like it's backhanded and silly and funny. It's Jewy. Like, it's how a Jewish person would give a joke.
Yeah, almost like guilt joke.
Yeah, exactly. A guilt joke. Exactly. Guilty. Be like, oh, he doesn't go. No, I mean it's his fault. He's going to die because of it.
But the good thing is, I'll get his car, so we'll all be happy. You know.
But she really cares and really loves and is trying to backhandedly make him go.
Yeah, my mom's a very strong woman. My dad's just very gregarious and goofy.
That's cool.
And somewhere in the middle is me.
Good balance, man.
Yeah.
But this is fun.
This really was fun. Darren, thanks so much for... this is... By the way, guys,
this
is the longest show we've ever
somebody.
Had. I don't... Okay.
You started to say goodbye.
All right.
How long did this podcast go?
We're at about an hour 35 right now.
Cool. So it'll be an extended welcome back edition.
Thank you for hanging in there, guys. If you're on the...
I know. Thanks for listening to a conversation. And before we go... God. Sorry, honey.
Jesus, why does it do this?
All right, and before we go. God. Not yet.
A little bit louder. All right.
I promise you, people, this is only because the computer's battery died, so I got to do this off my cell phone. So before we go.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Darren Carter, the party starter. Green.
Hello, sir.
How are you today?
I'm better than most, not as good as some, as they say.
Hello, Skippy.
I heard that on the radio once late at night.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk
you
to
never
you.
Any me
fan
when
of
you Steve-O
is not a friend of mine.
I didn't say I was a fan of Steve-O.
Well, you know where he's from, and that's too much for me.
All right, what Darren. What flea market he was at.
Are you ready for this, Darren?
Yes.
You know how this game works.
10 words.
Exactly.
I answer a question.
Not 11, not 9, 10 words. If you want to look at Allison there, she'll give you the finger.
Okay. Oh, okay. I have my eyes closed. I'll open them.
No, you don't have to look at me.
Okay.
If you...
Wait, real quick. Do you manage Flip Schultz? I thought you called the club recently.
I'm not that desperate.
Okay.
If you...
This is great. I want to hear Skippy roasting Flip. This is
please.
That's very sick.
Please,
okay, we won't go there.
Yeah. God.
He hates
Flip
that guy.
Flip Schultz wouldn't know funny if it fucked him in the face.
Can you believe Flip's goal is to work a shithole in Arizona?
Please, that's where I started, that shithole in Arizona. Talking about a sit-down Scots whale. I don't know. Bar rescue, whatever. All right. Answer the following question.
Yes.
10 words. Not 11, not 9. 10. If you could fuck.
I think I had this question last time.
Yeah, it's always worth
it. It always
you
starts.
Could fuck.
Oh. For those who know, this is how it starts. Okay. If you.
Yes.
Could fuck.
40 heads of cattle. No.
To any.
If I could fuck to any, yes.
80s song. What would it be and why?
It would be with my six. No, I'm sorry. It would be with my English teacher to Like a Virgin by Madonna.
We're over. We're over.
Not any 80-year-old. Any 80s song.
I know. Sorry.
What would it be and why?
What would the song be?
Not who you fuck. Not who you fuck.
Oh, okay. Can we? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Right.
Take two. If you.
Yes. Deja vu.
Good fuck. Now I'm going to change the question. If you.
Could get sucked off by.
Good fuck.
Yes.
In a pile.
Gomer.
Of any. of any kind of pasta.
Ooh, I like it.
What would it be? What kind of pasta would you fucking and why?
Rigatoni. Because it's curly, not straight, and saucy with meatballs.
Perfect.
Nice.
Perfect
it's
again.
The Skippy Green Show.
I'm getting hungry. Is there a restaurant around here that serves pasta and plays Madonna songs?
Seriously.
Sorry, honey. You might. I'm going to turn your headphones down so I didn't blast you anymore, okay?
Just stop playing music for a second.
Well, we've got to play the closeout music
right now.
Oh,
yeah.
So, again, Darren
Carter. No, I'll turn it down. I'm good like this.
Okay. Darren Carter, thanks again, my friend.
Thank you. This is a great podcast. I enjoyed doing your podcast so much.
Oh, dude. We really enjoy having you, man. And I hope our listeners enjoyed.
Can I just say something? These guys are real, okay? And you know, this is very real. This isn't fake. And I really enjoyed this. I mean, even on my part, if I was dull, I apologize, but that's just the way we are.
Stop it.
I did a podcast recently, and the guy, he would just ask a question, wouldn't even listen, looked at his paper, and as soon as you get done talking, he goes, ha-ha, that's so true. And then he'd go on to the next question. It was so disconnected and... I hated it.
That's why this is supposed to just be, and that's why it doesn't necessarily always go to the funny side of things. Sometimes it's just whatever, that's why it's what's for dinner, whatever we're talking about.
Whatever on our minds, man.
And if you're curious what three comics have to say about randomness.
Whatever happens to come up.
Subscribe.
Send me a tweet if you guys are still listening. I'm on Twitter. It's at Darren Carter. At Darren Carter, and I'll retweet you back.
That's awesome. And Allison?
Look me up at dirtyguitargirl.com, or I'm trying to be a Twitter person, at Allison Comedy, which is all is on comedy.
Excellent. And, of course, guys, you know me, at Flip Schultz on Twitter, also flipisfunny.com. And if anybody, I don't know when this is going to go up, but you could always check out our schedules at our websites, Facebook pages, all that fun stuff. And Allison's movie that she did, Epic, is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
August 20th.
There you go. So get that, because I think we get residuals.
Hey!
And guys, thank you so much. Thank you for still being here after that little week break. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you next week. So until then.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.